I'm going to read just a couple of things separate from that. In Matthew chapter number 26, as Jesus was leaving the time of the Lord's Supper, he spoke these words. Verse 30, Matthew 26, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, of course, this being the apostles, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. That's a promise of the Lord to the apostles of his death, of his resurrection, and of his meeting again with them. Now look in Matthew 28 and read the first seven verses. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. Two times before our text in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, Jesus told his disciples that after he was crucified, after he rose from the dead, he would meet them back in Galilee, far from the place where he was crucified, far from the place of his tomb, on a mountain that he had appointed to them that he would meet with them there. Now this background is necessary for the text as we read it beginning in verse 16, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. We want to preach from these verses today. We're preaching to the church. Jesus spoke these words nearly 2,000 years ago to the 11 apostles who were the foundation stones of the church that he built during the days of his earthly ministry. He gave them a charge in these verses that extends to this day to every church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was careful to say every church of the Lord Jesus Christ because I think you know not all churches belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches that belong to men. They made no apology for that when they started the churches and named them after themselves. But Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I believe that. And I trust that you who are a member of this church believe that. When he comes again, he'll scarcely find faith on the earth. We read in another passage. But he will find faith, and he will find churches like this one. that understand and accept the responsibility that he graciously gave us to keep this charge. It's a charge. We're responsible for it. Go ye therefore. This charge hinges on the first part, which says go. Go ye therefore. I'm going to break it down into three different subjects in this charge. If you miss the truth that Jesus gave this commission or this charge to his church, you go the way of the world. Why do we have so many denominations in Christianity today? Why are men doing everything according to what's right in their own eyes? Because they have missed this truth. Jesus gave this charge to his church, his assembly that he built, and he promised. Now, he is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He promised that this church would not go out of existence because of death. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we're here today by his grace with the wonderful privilege of keeping this charge as much as in us is. Many men have gone out on their own and started churches, as I say, in their name, with their doctrine, departing completely from some of the things that Jesus taught. And yet they want to claim the name of Christian. They'll answer to God for that, not me. I'm not here to judge them. I'm just here to tell you that the Lord built his church. And if we belong to the Lord, and I believe we do, then we need to understand this charge and need to understand the great privilege that we have of standing for the things that he left us here to stand for. Jesus built his church during the days of his earthly ministry. If you open any Bible dictionary or just a dictionary of any kind, or if you go on the internet and you ask what is a Christian church, you will be totally confused after just a few lines of reading. What they describe as a Christian church does not at all compare with what Jesus started and pastored for about 3.5 years and taught them and gave them this charge of what they were to do, what their responsibility was. Most of the time when you read any data about the Christian church, it will tell you that it started on the day of Pentecost. This is before Pentecost. During the time that Jesus was here, about 40 days after his resurrection, he met with his apostles on several occasions. If the church of the Lord Jesus Christ began at Pentecost, we have no Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper was given to his church during the days of his earthly ministry. We have no authority to baptize because the authority to baptize was given to his church before Pentecost. This is prior to Pentecost that we're reading right now. He gave them this charge to carry on what he had been doing during the days of his ministry. The church had a business meeting on Acts chapter number 1. They selected one to take Judas Iscariot's place. If it wasn't a church, and some men are so bold to say that they were not authorized to do what they did, and the Apostle Paul should have been the 12th apostle, and they're just totally ignorant of what the Bible says. They chose the one the Lord appointed at that meeting in Acts chapter number 1, prior to the Holy Spirit coming, prior to the day of Pentecost, they met together as a church is expected to do, because the word church means to assemble, to conduct the Lord's business, to carry on what he started during the days of his earthly ministry. So when you read these things, be sure you read your Bible first, or you'll be totally confused. This charge was then, almost 2,000 years ago, and is still today the purpose and desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I speak to you through His words to tell you that He's charged us with keeping these things. As I said, I've broken them down into the three things mentioned here. What did He charge us to do? First of all, He said, go. Verse 19. Go ye, therefore. Now, some are so foolish as to say, well, it was just the 11 apostles, which would become 12 after their business meeting, which they conducted before Pentecost. And they would be counted and numbered. He would be counted and numbered with the 12. But He says to these 11, because they had not yet had that business meeting, they had not yet chosen that 12th man to be a witness with them. He says to these 11, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The first and the most important part of this is the word go ye therefore. Now, He wasn't speaking to these 11 men as individuals. Otherwise, His work would have stopped when they died. Do you understand that? He's talking to 11 specific men that He had taught. He left with the responsibility to fulfill this charge. But He's talking to them as a church that He had started. These were the foundation stones, as we read in Ephesians chapter number 2. Were built upon the doctrine of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He spoke to them as His church. Therefore, because of His promise in these verses, His church is still here today. And it will be when He comes. Regardless of all the falling away, regardless of all the unfaithfulness of all the people who join Himself to a church, His church will still be here when He comes. He says, first of all, go ye, therefore. We can't keep this charge unless we go in the way that He told us to. Go to your family. Go to your friends. Go to those that you can talk to. People who have been untaught about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ may get upset at you for even believing what I'm saying to you this morning. But we go back to verse 18 before we get into verse 19. It says, all power, the word in the Greek is exousia, and it means the power to govern and the power to fulfill what I'm going to give you a charge to do. All power is given unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven and in earth, He has it all. Now, He's delegating it to 11 men. These men are the foundation stones of the church that He will leave shortly. And He's delegating them, particularly at this time, to carry on His work. And as they carry on His work, there will be other churches started believing the same things that the 11 believed. Taking this charge personally, as I would like you to take it today, as a member of this body, you have a responsibility, you have a privilege. Go with the authority that He gave us. He's delegating authority. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. He's taking the authority that He has from His Father, authority over heaven, authority over earth, and He's delegating it to 11 men, for the foundation stones in the first church. And that church would begin other churches. And if we believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, then we understand that church has not ceased to exist and will not cease to exist. Not in the same place, because the church of Jerusalem is gone. It's not there anymore. But out of that church have sprung multitudes of churches who believed and taught the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ as he tells them to here. Go ye therefore into all, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word nations is ethos. It means every kind of person. All through this world. No distinction. This gospel is for everyone in all the nations. And we read in Revelation 5, I want to read this right now to show you what a faithful job they did. Now, this was many years later. John the Apostle is writing this, but notice the worship scene that takes place in heaven that he is prophesying about through the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 5 and verse number 9. Revelation 5, 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, the 11 apostles did not do that by themselves. They received the commission. They passed that commission on to other churches who would be born out of their teachings. This promise could not be fulfilled. The prophecy of John in Revelation 5 would be untrue, except the church propagated itself all down through the ages of time and is still on the earth today and will be here when the Lord comes. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach means to disciple, make disciples, preach to them, teach them. And secondly, the second aspect of this authority, this commission, is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's three names, but he didn't say in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit, because the three are one. We see the Trinity in this verse so powerful, so clearly. Baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. And when we baptize, that is the formula that we use every time. So we're to go and teach, and as we teach, God will give new life to people. And then we are to baptize those people into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as members. And then, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things. A great work in the church is to teach people. And beloved, the reason Christianity is such a mess today, if I can use that term to explain the situation when people want to know what the world of church is, don't go to the dictionary. Don't go to the internet, because you'll be totally confused. Go to the Bible. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, you cannot find, except in the Lord's church, this part of this charge being fulfilled. You won't find it on the church on the corner. You'll only find it on one of the Lord's churches. One that sprang out of that church in Jerusalem. Teaching them to observe all things, not a few things, not what this man wants to add and that man wants to add and this woman wants to get in a pulpit and preach. No, not anything but what he taught. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You can forget all the commandments of men. If you want to be a part of the Lord's church, you find one where they're teaching the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last part of this is, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus Christ is truth. His church will be here when he comes. Now, it never has been like some of the churches you see today, where they have to have police out there to monitor the traffic and had a large church at Jerusalem, very large in the beginning. But from that time, most of the churches have been relatively small. It's not size that the Lord looks for. It's people that want to keep this commission, this charge that he gave us. It's people that love him and want to assemble, because that's what the word church means. I talk to pastors, and the churches that we fellowship with are having the same problem we are. People are too busy to come to church anymore. They got too many things going on. They don't have time. They completely ignore the Lord's Day in many ways, not all of them. The power of rule by government is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave it to his disciples. He delegated it to them. He did not give it to them per se. He delegated it to them to perform the work that's still being performed today. Go ye therefore. Now, if we don't go, it doesn't matter about the rest of it, does it? If we don't go, we won't baptize. If we don't go, we won't teach them to observe. So the first part of the commission or the charge is critical. Now, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter number 1, if you'll just turn to Acts chapter number 1 quickly. The first chapter is not the day of Pentecost, but it's before it. But we find those 11 apostles gathered together. In verse 13 of chapter 1 of Acts, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. But no Judas Iscariot, because he hanged himself when he realized what he had done. They're going to, according to prophecy and according to the will of God, they're going to choose one to take Judas's place. This is a church. They're assembled together. It tells us, as a matter of fact, in verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. That's a pretty good sized church in our day. 120 members. And Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Chapter 27 of the book of Matthew tells us he went out and hanged himself, and evidently the rope broke. Verse 20, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. 12 witnesses. 12 foundation stones. When you look in the book of Revelation, and you see in that New Jerusalem, you see those 12 names of the 12 apostles. You won't see Judas's name there, but you'll see the name of the man who was chosen by the church. In verse 26, it tells us, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with 11 apostles. They chose one to take his place. They had a business meeting. By the direction of the Holy Spirit, they chose one to take his place. And when you see those jewels in the foundation stones in Jerusalem, you'll find this man's name there, along with Peter and James and John. They did this by the authority that Jesus Christ delegated to them. Must one be chosen? Prophecy said there must be one chosen to take his place, and they did that. This is the Lord's church. But the last charge that he gave them was, go into all the world. We read in Mark's gospel, it's worded like that, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew says, go ye, teach all nations. Same thing. When you teach, you will find followers quickened by the Spirit of God, not by you, not by your preaching, but by the Spirit of God. When they make a profession of faith, as the book of Romans teaches us they will do, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we believe in our heart, confession is made by the mouth. And when that confession has been made, then we're to baptize them. We're still doing that. We did baptize them in the very way that he says to, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go, teach, baptize, but teach them to observe all things. Now, where do you find that today? A lot of churches call themselves Christian churches, but they won't preach on hell. They're ashamed to mention the word hell from the pulpit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone in his church. He preached on hell. We should not be ashamed to preach the words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the destiny of people who leave this world in death. They go to one place or the other. What's happened to so-called Christians? They're not Christian at all. They don't belong to the Lord. I believe the Lord's churches will follow him. That's kind of a simple principle, but it's the truth. We're to go, we're to witness, we're to preach as best we can, and we wait on the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit makes it known that they're his children, they will come to us and ask for baptism, and we will baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, people strain over that. No, you won't find in the Bible where anybody was ever baptized except in Jesus' name. It's not the same thing. They strain it in that while they swallow a camel. They call themselves Christians, but they will not baptize except in the name of Christ. Jesus gave the authority that God gave him to his church before he left. You see them begin to exercise it in Acts chapter number 1. 120 members. Those were saved during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles as he went about from many, many places preaching. Many believed on him. Many were gathered together on this day in Jerusalem. And this is called the Lord's church, the Lord's assembly. We need to keep the charge of our Savior. Who can baptize people who profess faith in Christ? You know, when I was a kid, we used to baptize down the creek. I'm serious. We were just joking around, but we knew enough about it to know that we hold his nose and plunge him under the water. Was that baptism? Let me tell you something. It's about as valid as you'll get in some so-called Christian churches. I'm not saying that to speak evil of people. I'm saying that, beloved, because they have left the truth. They don't have the authority to baptize unless they measure up to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the first church at Jerusalem and to the churches that the Apostle Paul started. He didn't start his own church. He went to all those cities preaching the gospel. And you know what let's see what he preached in Acts chapter number 20. Notice Paul's words here. He was at Ephesus and he's getting ready to leave for the last time. And he leaves them with a message in Acts chapter 20. In verse number 26, please turn there. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What did Jesus command us to do? What was the charge? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Do you find all things that Jesus taught in many so-called Christian churches? I trow not. You won't find it. You mentioned the doctrines of election, predestination, in many so-called Christian churches, and they will scatter like someone shot at them. But the first church believed that. Jesus himself taught it. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, he said in John 16:16. He chose those 12 apostles. One of them, of course, was a betrayer. But that was on purpose, too, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When we think about this charge that he's left us, Paul says, I'm not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, this is a charge he's leaving to these pastors from Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock with which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, this is several years after Pentecost. Paul's been going about from place to place in Asia Minor. This is right on the coast. And on the other side of the Gulf there, it was Europe. And he went over there when he went into Macedonia. Started a church at Thessalonica. Started a church at Corinth in Europe. But everywhere he went, he preached the same things. He declared all the counsel of God. He didn't spare them anything. He says that himself. And I've always been touched by this. This is the last time. In verse 35, if you're still there in Acts 20, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all there on the beach as he was leaving. Verse 37, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Now, what did Paul preach when he went to these different cities and preached the gospel? What did he preach after they were saved? He taught them all things that the Lord commanded. And that's why we have in the Bible, we have all we need here, because these letters that Paul wrote to those churches are the same things he taught. And they're the same things you want to hear from this pulpit. The same things you want to believe. It's the charge that we ought to receive and feel responsible for. It's our responsibility in this day, in this place, to keep this charge. May we find the power from the Lord to keep in this way that he's given us, to follow the teachings of Christ, not conform to this world. He told that to the church at Rome. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. We're to prove that, not conform to what the world wants us to do. What do we find in the world? Parties, entertainment, keeping the people happy, fleshly. Not spiritual things, fleshly things. God keep us from anything like that. We're to preach the Word of God. We're to preach all the things that he taught us to preach. And attached to that, as we do that, is a promise. And we'll read this in closing this morning. The last verse in Matthew 28. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have no right to come up with some new doctrine, to say I'm an apostle, to change the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no right to do that. I've been here for 43 years. By the help and grace of God, I've tried to teach you what Jesus Christ taught his first church. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, here's the promise. I am with you always. I'll be with you every step of the way, even unto the end of the world. His church will be here when he comes. It won't be big. They won't have a lot of members, because the world does not want what Jesus Christ taught. They don't want to hear it. They want to be entertained. They want to be tickled. Paul warned Timothy, a time will come when they will not receive the truth. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn away to fables. They'll turn to fables. They don't want the truth. But by the help and grace of God, we can stand for the truth. My love is going to cost us something. We're going to have to sacrifice to do this. I'm not talking about the offerings. I'm talking about sacrificing our time, sacrificing our lives, sacrificing our own desires to the will of God and doing what Jesus taught us to do. We need to go where we are. You, as a member of this church, have a ministry in your home. You have one in the workplace. You have one of the people come in contact. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you can do is tell them. God doesn't expect us to save them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we do need to tell them. And we don't need to be ashamed to stand for the things that Jesus taught us to stand for. Paul wasn't. Peter wasn't. John wasn't. They taught the truth that Jesus taught them. God help us in this day, 2024, in this place, Frankfort, Kentucky, to stand for the things that Jesus taught and not add to it and don't take away from it. Just teach it as he gave it to us and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to make it effective in people's ears, that they might pay attention to it, that we might have the privilege of baptizing them according to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can teach them. You know what's upside down in most of Christianity today? Why do they have a lot of entertainment? Why do they want people to come and draw people into the church? They've changed the system that the Lord gave. You look in the scriptures, I read this week. He went back into Capernaum and the people thronged to the house where he was, and he preached the word unto them. He didn't talk about myths. He didn't talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. He preached the word of God to them, and they gladly received it. But beloved, we're living in a time which is very dangerous to the truth. And it's only as we have people that are willing to sacrifice, willing to be embarrassed, willing to be ashamed in the presence of their family, if it takes that. Uphold the truth. Love the truth because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. When you love the truth, because he says, I am the truth. And if you don't love the truth, you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love something else. You love pleasing men. This is our charge today. It's still effective. It hasn't changed. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has this charge 2,000 years after he gave it. Our work is still the same. Go. Tell them about Christ. When they believe it, baptize them. You have authority to do that. No other church has authority. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to baptize. There's a church sent from God. We came to baptize. We have the authority to baptize. We have the authority to preach and teach the word of God. And just pray that God will give people understanding, that they might grasp what we're trying to do for their benefit. I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings. I'm not trying to drive people away from the church. But Lord, we're not going to, as Paul says, we're not going to give you itching ears to hear what you want to hear. Because what you want to hear is probably not what Jesus said. His own people wouldn't receive it. And we're Gentiles. The old nature won't receive it. Unless you're born again, you won't want what I'm preaching from this pulpit. It's just not in you. But by the help and grace of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, when I preach the truth, you know it. And you agree with it. And you want to stand for it. Bow your heads. Father,